The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're talking about service in regards to the message. I started talking a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. Be the new. Be the new what? Be the new whatever God has called you to be. But I could tell you for sure, be the new servant. We talked last week about serving God and how important it is to make God number one in our life. That's it. Absolutely. Jesus made it perfectly clear. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Every part of your being, you have to love God. How many love God? Amen. I didn't think I'd see a hand that didn't go up. Got two. Come on, going with two. Yes, we love God. We wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be coming to Bethel if you didn't love God. Because we say some hard things around here sometimes. We talk about sin, which is sometimes, you know, churches have gotten away from talking about sin because it runs people off. We talk about hell because there's people that are destined to hell because they're not receiving Christ as their personal Savior. God has made a way. That's the whole essence of the gospel. God has made a way that you do not have to go to hell, that there is a hell. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But those who reject Christ will go there as well. Once again, these are hard things. I'm going to talk about some hard things this morning about relationships and family. But number one, we love God and we serve God with all our heart, soul, and mind. But the second thing that is most important, now I have pastors that disagree with me about this. Because they believe that number one is God and number two is church. And I don't believe that. I want you to understand. I believe number one is God. Number two is family. Family should be number two in your life. Family is most important. But let me say this. Church is family. The body of Christ is family. We're all related to one another through the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's very important that we can kind of connect those two things. Yes, church is important. And the body of Christ, the people that we love and we spend time with, they're very important. So when we talk about family, we're not only talking about mother and father and children and extended family, father-in-laws and mother-in-laws and all those things. Extended family. We're talking about the real family of God, which is the body of Christ as well. So we're going to talk about that. But here's what I want to separate. I want you to understand that when we talk about family and the body of Christ and serving one another, we're not necessarily talking about a church meeting. A church meeting is a time for us to be able to come together and worship God. But do you realize we're not necessarily having church when we do this? We don't have church. You can't have something that you are.
Right.
I don't have Rob. I am Rob. You are the church. Therefore, when we come together, we're not having church. We're having a worship service as the church. We are the church. Therefore, when it comes to realizing who the church is and the body of Christ, yes, we serve people. And when you serve people, you recognize that you know, it's important to make family first. And the reason I say this is because I've seen so many, particularly pastors, that have burned out, not only burned out themselves, but burned out their families because they have put all this time and effort in what they believe is their responsibility of church working with the church, and they're not concentrating on the most important thing in their life, family. If you're not ministering to your family, you're missing the mark.
That's right.
You're completely missing the mark. Okay, so we've talked about serving the Lord. So I've tried my best to set this up for this morning's message. I believe, without a doubt, this is the most exciting time to serve the Lord right now. We're in some really, but you know, even though it's exciting, we're in some really difficult times right now. Don't expect everything to be nice and smooth for the next few years. Expect God to be in control. Expect God to take care of His own, but expect turmoil. The world is in turmoil right now. Yes, we need a revival, and that's what I want to see happen. I want to see revival take place in land. I want to see people turn their hearts back to the Lord. And the only way they're going to do that is if we come to God with a heart of a repentance. Repentance is the only thing that will change the church. If we continue to come to God with the same heart condition that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not going to see anything. It begins first with the church, the people who are called by my name will pray and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. So yes, it's going to take the church repenting and turning. And the only way the church will ever repent and turn is if we have messages like this to say, you must come to God with a pure heart. Ask Him to get things right in your life. You can't do it yourself, I can tell you that. It won't happen. But through power of the Holy Spirit, you can. So we're going to talk this morning about serving family. Family heritage was so important in the Old Testament that they would learn the lineage of their family all the way back to Abraham. And most of them were able to recite each and every person that led up to their existence. Because family heritage was that important. Family heritage is that important for us in the body of Christ. I am so thankful that I grew up in a Christian family with a mother and father that served Jesus Christ. They didn't just talk about it. They actually served the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. That's my heritage. And you know, some of the others in our family, my mom and dad really started that heritage for our family. And we're doing our best to carry that heritage on. And I pray that my children and my grandchildren will continue that heritage. And right now, I can thankfully say they all know the Lord. I wish they were serving the Lord like I want them to. But that's between them and God. We all have certain standards, don't we? And we'd like to see other people live up to them. Well, forget it.
That's right.
Take care of yourself. Make sure you're living up to the right standard. Family life, I believe, is supposed to be the center of the Christian existence. Families. Now, I understand that some of you are, you're divorced, you're from broken families, there's issues. That kind of thing, that's your history. That's behind you. We're talking about a new covenant now with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know the Lord. You're going to serve the Lord. We're talking about starting right now and beginning to recognize that your life is to be different than it was in the past. Serving the Lord, recognizing who's in control of your life, and making family number one. Even if you're divorced, your children are not living with you, I would say make sure that you make your family number one, no matter what. And do your best to have a civil relationship with the other person, the spouse that you divorce, for your children's sake and for God's sake. for the Holy Spirit's sake, for your sake. It's the right thing to do. All right, Ecclesiastes 9:9 says this. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. All right, we're going to stop right there and just look at that particular scripture, Ecclesiastes 9:9. Now, the writer of Ecclesiastes was a little cynical when he was saying this. And he was saying, man, this is the only thing I have to enjoy in life. Well, I would disagree with him. I think that it's a great place to start. Yeah. Man, live with the person that you're joined together with all the days of your life and enjoy it. Do your best to enjoy it, to recognize that God has done this thing and he wants you to enjoy this relationship that you have. It's awesome, particularly when both husband and wife are born again. Doesn't always happen. If that's not the case in your situation, that's okay. You still have responsibility to be the best spouse you can possibly be. But we all must recognize that the Word of God makes it perfectly clear, and we're going to be talking about submission this morning, that we are to submit. And we're going to talk about wives submitting, first of all. And I'm going to get myself in a lot of hot water right now. Because I realize that this word submission has a negative connotation in our society, but it shouldn't. Because across the board, the Bible tells us to submit. But it particularly says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, I know for a fact that when you start talking like that, that there are those who turn you off immediately. So please, don't switch me off. Listen to me, because I have some important things to say. Sometimes this Christian walk is a little difficult because we have to do things contrary to what the world says. We have to walk the path that the Lord has laid out for us. And submission is a very important part of being what God wants the body of Christ to be. There's headship. There has to be headship. There has to be headship everywhere we go. There has to be some headship in our nation. Whether we agree with it or disagree with it, there has to be leadership. There has to be leadership in the church. Without headship, the church is in turmoil. You don't want that. The same thing applies to family. The church in family, if the family does not have headship, let me say this. Have you ever seen an animal with its head cut off? We butchered some chickens, and that's one of the things you do, cut their head off. Now, it's quite a sight to see chickens with their head cut off, flopping around all over the place. But you know, they only flop for a little while. And a chicken without his head is dead. Even when it's flopping, it's dead. So we can have a family that flops around all over the place, but without a head, it's really dead. This is gross, isn't it? Hallelujah. But I have your attention.
Yes, you do.
Yes, amen. Also, something with two heads is a freak.
Yes.
And if our children grow up in a family that's freaky, what happens to them? What can we expect from them? So headship is really important, and it needs to be singular headship. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's a tyrant here.
That's
I'm talking about biblical headship. All right, well, we'll move on with this a little bit. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning and Tammy said, I had a dream. I said, really? What was your dream? She said, well, it was really disturbing. She said, I dreamed that we were in this warehouse and husbands were being auctioned off. Some of them were being auctioned off for $10,000. Others were being auctioned off for over $1 million. Well, she had my interest, you know. I said, okay, what about husbands like me? And she said, that was the disturbing thing. They were putting husbands like you in a bundle and auctioning them off for a dollar. Hallelujah. Nah. Before anybody asks her about that, that's just a joke. Okay. She did not have a dream. I think she could get at least $10 for me. Amen. All right. Here we go. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Submission. The Greek word here is hupato. It means to arrange under, to subordinate, to subject, but in subjection, put in subjection, to subject oneself, obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice, to obey, be subject. Wives, Ephesians 5:22 says this, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In reality, when what we are talking about, when we talk about submission, we are talking about a person who willingly puts themselves in a position of submission to someone else. Willingly. We're not talking about somebody who is commanded to do it out of fear or anxiety or stress. That's not submission. That, you know, that's a demand that is put on a person. When we're talking about submission, we're talking about someone who willingly says, I believe that my position here is to support, encourage, and help you. It's across the board, submission is. Now, I want you to understand something very seriously about submission and headship. God has created headship in the world and in the body of Christ and in the family so that decisions sometimes can be made even when there is disagreement. You know, as pastor of this church, of course, I have elders who help me make decisions. But sometimes we make decisions in this church that are not necessarily the most popular decision, because you don't always have all the information that we have. And sometimes you just totally disagree with what we have said. But we do it lovingly and with the purpose of trying to serve God and serve this congregation. The same thing will happen in a family. You know, with Tammy and myself, I'll just use us as an example. When we have a decision to make, we work together to make that decision. We talk about it, we agree, but you know there are those very rare times that we cannot come to an agreement about what we're supposed to do. And when that's the case, as the head of the household, I take the responsibility of the decision that is made. And let me tell you, so that's not being a tyrant. That's assuming responsibility of whether that decision is right or wrong. And if it's wrong, I carry the weight of that. And, you know, thank God I have a good wife and she doesn't come along and say, I told you so. She's encouraging and she helps me through those kind of times. She doesn't have to, because I beat myself up when I make the wrong decision. I want to hear from God. You know what this does, men and women? It drives us to our knees to seek the Lord. to hear His voice, to make sure that we're following the path that He is, the steps that He has ordered for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. It causes us to come to the place where we're hearing from God and not just making decisions on our own. It's so important. Ephesians 5:23. Anyone who wants to turn to Ephesians, you can do that, but we're just going to look at these two verses. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as Christ is subject to, or the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Jesus is our model. And gentlemen, here's what the Scripture is telling us, that we are to be like Jesus to our families, like Jesus is to the church. And what did Jesus do for the church? He died. This Scripture is telling you, you must die to yourself if you're going to be the head of your household. The problem with us in the body of Christ sometimes is that we haven't got rid of all these fleshly desires that we have. And we're so selfish and self-centered that we make decisions based on what's best for us and not what's best for our family. Mm-hmm. Come on. I'm just wanting to encourage you this morning. You have Holy Spirit inside of you. He can help you make the right decisions. Seek Him. Get rid of your fleshly. You know, praise God, 21 days fasting is over. Amen. Today. Amen. Are you glad?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I expect you to be glad. You know, hallelujah. I can eat this certain thing. I can eat more than one meal a day. That was my fast, one meal a day. I did a few days of complete fasting, and then I went to one meal a day. But honestly, praise God, it's over. However, I recognize this one thing. You know, I look at it and I say, wow, you know, it's been so good. It's caused my spiritual perception to rise. I've been able to put my flesh down and overcome it. Listen, we need that in the body of Christ. We need to get to this place where we're not allowing our bodies to rule us. You know, we talk about all kinds of habits that people have sometimes, you know, smoking and drinking and all this stuff. But listen, food is a big deal in the body of Christ. And we're killing ourselves with the kind of things that we are putting into our bodies. We pray. We ask God for healing. We believe in it. But we need to do our part. Start looking at some of this stuff. You know, Big Mac's good every once in a while, but five times a week? I don't think so. Or whatever you're eating. Maybe you don't like Big Macs. Burger King, right? You are Burger King people. No? Yeah. Okay, we got a few here and there. All right. Whatever. You know, we've got to be conscious of this. And recognize that, you know, we have a part in this thing. So we're talking about headship. But I could tell you this, the husband will only truly be the head of the household when the wife allows him to be. When there's submission for a purpose. Now, let me say this. Men, you've got to earn this. You must earn it. Women, you've got to stop being the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're nagging, doesn't get it. Amen. You're trying to tell them all the time, you know, exactly what they're supposed to do. Stop that. Get on your knees. Ask God to change their heart. Men, you got to get to the place where you are proving yourself as the head of the household. And you ladies, that if you don't have a husband in the house right now, you have to assume the responsibility of the household. No doubt about it. You just do. And that's tough. I pray for you. God didn't design it that way, but that's the way it is sometimes. So we're praying for you. We're supporting you. And listen, church, you know, whether you're a man in here without a spouse or a woman in here without a spouse, the body of Christ is supposed to support you, help you, encourage you, stand with you. Listen, if you have needs, make sure you let us know. You're not doing this thing on your own. That's what the body's all about. Now, I want you to understand something. The lack of submission is rebellion. And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I want to show you something. This goes all the way back. Now, when I talk about submission, and I'm going to share some other scriptures with you, how important it is that we submit overall in our life. God has called us to submission. But I want to show you where this whole thing began. It began in the garden. Man and woman rebelled against God. And when they rebelled against God, they no longer submitted to the ordinance that God gave them. Don't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's rebellion. So when we're not submitting properly, we are rebelling not only against somebody, but against God. But let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to say some things maybe a little controversial this morning, but I like to get people thinking and stirred up a little bit, so listen carefully. Genesis 3, 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. All right, now this was after the fall in the garden. They've already committed this sin, and God is saying this is what's going to happen to the woman. Desire here, the Hebrew word, teshuka, means desire, longing, craving. But here's what, it also has the connotation of a beast that wants to devour its prey. Are you starting to get a little different idea about this desire that he's talking about here? The actual, the original concept here is the sense of stretching over. So what the scripture could very well be saying here is that the woman has a desire to devour the place of the husband or stretch over the husband's responsibility. Usurp. I think that it could very well be saying that naturally the woman is going to have a desire to usurp the responsibility of the husband. So this submission thing goes all the way back to Genesis. Now that I've got all the women in here mad at me, I want you to know it's really difficult to understand exactly what the Hebrew is saying here. We do know this, that it's conveying more than just a longing for the husband. There's something more to it. But the reality is this: sin of rebellion begins in the family. It begins in the family. Husbands rebel, wives rebel, children rebel. The sin of rebellion begins in the family and it seeps out into the culture. And the culture puts so much pressure on the church that the church, it seeps back into the church and the church tries to conform with the culture rather than transforming the culture with the renewing of our minds. I didn't get a whole lot of amens, but praise God, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Amen. We've allowed this rebellion to seep back in. We must take a stand for what is right. Let me show you from Scripture some things about submission, and I'm going to wrap this up quickly as I can. James, we should, number one, submit to God. James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So first of all, you know, God says, here's what has to happen. You have to submit to God. If you could submit to God, God is going to allow you to have the ability to resist the devil, and the devil is going to flee from you. And then you can draw near to God. And God promises he's going to draw near to you. But here's a stipulation. Cleanse your hands of your sins. Purify your heart so that you're walking right before the Lord. Don't be double-minded. There are stipulations here. So therefore, we look at it and we see submission to God is more than just praying a little prayer, oh Lord Jesus, save my soul. I believe in you. Submission to God is believing that, what I just said, that God sent Jesus Christ to save you when you put your faith in him and you trust that he raised him from the dead. But then it's more than that. It's a lifestyle that shows that you believe that. There's so much to it. Submission to God. Second thing, submit to one another. And listen, that same scripture that I was reading to you out of Ephesians says, wives, submit to your husbands. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 20 and 21. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So it's not just wives submitting to husbands. It's husbands submitting to wives. It's families submitting to the church. It's the church submitting to one another. It's the body of Christ doing what God has called us to do. Submission is not, it is a big deal, but it's not what the world thinks submission is. Submission is honoring others. Submission is getting yourself in the position that God intends you to be in your life, in your heart. Submission starts with the heart. It's a heart condition. You know, I got to tell you, when it comes to certain laws that are of the land, I don't like them. I got to be careful that I'm not rebellious. My wife has been working on me 43 years, right? Yeah. Okay. Buckle my seatbelt. And you know, there is just something inside of me that says when I grab that seatbelt, how dare them to tell me that I have to buckle my seatbelt? Yeah, I know. It's for my own good. It's smart. It's a good thing. But I'm smart enough to do it myself without a law that says you have to. It's terrible, isn't it? Your pastor doesn't set a very good example. I'm doing better. I'm trying. After a couple of seatbelt tickets, you learn. You just fasten that seatbelt. That's painful. Submit to one another. It's awesome. When we have a church, and we do, we have such a church that submits to each other. We submit to one another. We help each other. We do some awesome things in our community. I appreciate that. Praise God. But it's just a reminder. Submit to each other. 1 Peter chapter 5:5, you young people, I want to tell you what the Word of God says about you submitting. Listen. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is saying submission is extremely important. You teenagers that are in here, Submit to your elders. Submit to those who are in charge over you. Now, listen, when we talk about submission to the church and submission to older people or submission to government, I must say this, because I'm going to share those things too, but I must say this, we only submit to people that are directing us in a godly fashion, you know. Even when it comes to government, as long as they're telling us to do things, you know, fastening my seatbelt is not contrary to the Word of God. But the moment they say, you can't worship the way you worship, then we have to take a stand against something like that. Because that's contrary to the Word of God. You teenagers, when your parents say, do this or do that, they're doing it because they love you and they want you to learn and grow. It may even be take the trash out. And if you're not willing to submit to that, you are in rebellion. And the reason they're wanting you to take the trash out is they want you, because they don't want to do it. That's one. We know that's true, right, guys? Number two, they want you to learn responsibility. That's so important. Learning to be responsible. My grandsons come to my house just about every Saturday night. Every Sunday morning, I walk into the bathroom, and their clothes are laying on my bathroom where they took a shower. I called Owen in this morning, and I gave him his clothes. And I said, Owen, how many times do I have to tell you, pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes, pick up your clothes. Do you think it sunk in? I doubt it. But we do that. That's just over and over. That's repetition. It's going to help. It's going to instill with them later on. I know. I know that it works because it worked in my life. Amen. It will work. Amen. It's working. Keep it up. But submission to your parents and to older people. Submit to the church leaders. Hebrews 13:17, above those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. This is talking about the church leadership. Be submissive to church leadership unless church leadership tells you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. You know, you don't get mad and leave the church because they changed the communion wafers, which we just did recently. So. Or the way you serve communion, or the color of the walls, or whatever. You don't get mad and leave the church because we brought in a new policy of whatever. I don't know what it might be, but it might be something silly. You can't wear red here anymore. That seems pretty stupid, doesn't it? But sometimes some of the rules that are made may seem stupid to you. But you don't just reject the people you love and the church that you attend and the people that you pray with and believe in over one silly little rule. Now, if we call you all together and say, drink this red Kool-Aid, now that's the reason you need to get out of here quickly.
That's right.
But you know what? You'll see that coming long before that ever happens.
That's right.
There's indications that things like that are happening. Now, you know, call... You know, people, they accuse different churches, and we've been accused of being a cult. People don't even know what a cult is.
Right.
A cult is an organization that claims to be Christian but denies the deity of Jesus Christ. That's bottom line for cult. Now, there are cult, there are ways that seem to be occultic or seem to be cultic in churches, you know, certain behaviors. One of the behaviors that you'll see in a church that has cult tendencies. I'm not saying that they're a cult, but they have tendencies, and that is a demand for absolute submission to the church leadership regardless of the decisions that are made. If you're connected to a church like that where they demand that you do what you are told all the time, 24 hours a day, you're probably in a place you shouldn't be. What works is the example that Christ set for us. Christ was a leader. And Christ's leadership led his disciples to want to do what Christ did. That's the body of Christ. I'll stand up here and say there's certain things wrong and certain things that are right. I encourage you to do the right things. But I can't enforce it in your life. When you do the wrong things. I pray for you. I want more than anything. I want us all to do the right things. But we're human. And we do some wrong things. God still loves us. Still makes a way for us. Amen. I need to wrap this up. One of the last things. Submit to government. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king or supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. Acts 5:25, I've already touched on this, doing things that only are godly. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Always obey God first. Amen. Submission, husbands. We talked pretty extensively about your responsibility. Husbands, Colossians 3:19, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Love your wives. Amen. Love your wife. Love your spouse. Love them. If you are truly a servant, like Christ has called us to be, you will serve your spouse. You will serve your children. I thank God that I grew up in the family that I did. My dad set such an example of servanthood. He served my mom. She was number one in our family. He served her above everything else. What an example that was. But I can tell you this, he also served us kids. You know, if we sat down in a meal, and he, even if he was still hungry and there was one piece of something left, he always made sure that the kids could have it rather than for him to have it, regardless of how he felt about it. Oh, just let the kids have it. What a servant. He served the church the same way. He was my hero. And he left me way too soon. He left all of us way too soon. But I can still stand up here and say, praise God for the father I had. There's no forcing submission in any area. You know, the governments try to force submission sometimes. And they, to a certain degree, can accomplish it. But lots of people die. Lots of turmoil takes place. Lives are destroyed, all because some tyrant believes that he's God on earth. Fathers, I just want you to lead your families. Wives, set examples for your family. Listen, guys, sometimes you have to apologize when you make some mistakes. Hallelujah. And as much as I hate to admit it, sometimes I get angry and say things that I shouldn't. Not long ago, I can't go back years, not long ago, Sunday morning, we were getting ready for church. I don't even remember what happened, what was going on. Something about the vehicle. And Tammy, she said something to me, and I was not in the best mood. Sunday morning, whatever. Women, we men go through moods too. I think you probably know that. And I got my grandkids, boys who are sitting in the living room, and I got upset and I slammed my hand down on the counter and I said something. I don't even remember what the situation was, but I made perfectly clear my position. And my grandboys, their eyes got about that big. And they just sat there in silence. Now, I had a decision to make. Either I could allow pride to overcome me and say, I was right and that's just the way it is. Or I could set an example for those two boys and make a difference in their life down the road. I called them in and I said, boys, I want you to understand something. What I did was wrong. My behavior was wrong. So I need to apologize to Graham, and I apologize to her for doing that. Now, let me tell you something. That's many years of experience speaking and understanding the Word of God. But I can tell you this. There's nothing like the freedom of saying, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Nothing like setting that kind of an example. Stand with me. I wish I could say I've always handled the situation that way. Every time I can't. And I don't. I haven't. I want to from now on out. You know, God wants to heal relationships. He wants to heal relationships with children and fathers. You know, the Old Testament talks about Malachi 4 or 5, the last book of the Old Testament. There was 400 years of silence after this. But the last book of the Old Testament says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike with a curse. And then in the New Testament, it shows Elijah came. John the Baptist came, and he set the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children. That's our hope. We have hope. A large part of our population is incarcerated because of crime. And what they have found out, that criminals usually repeat. However, the only thing that makes a real difference is Christian teaching. 2 out of 3 criminals will return to crime that are let out of prison, except for those who have been taught the Word of God. 6 out of 10 will not return to prison if they've been taught the Word of God. We're not talking about here. We're not talking about just being taught something like that. We're talking about a born-again experience where a person's heart is changed. That's what God wants. Heart change. That's what we're striving for. Heart change. I believe we have the answer. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Families, I just encourage you. Take the Word of God to heart. Read the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. Pray. Seek the Lord. Do all this for your family and for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we're just thankful for being here this morning, for all that you've done for us, for directing us. Lord, I know that you're such an awesome and mighty God, and I praise your name for going forth with your people. Today, we just thank you that we hear your word, we're going to respond to it, and we're going to live by it. Touch your people, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you have been blessed by this message. Our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.